Good morning.
Good morning.
Many of us face situations, times of difficulty and trouble. Life experiences sometimes that cause us to reevaluate our lives, cause us to reevaluate the life that we've chosen for ourselves. Maybe it's seeing your spouse walking down the aisle towards you, resplendent and beautiful. And maybe you make a prayer, "Lord, make me the kind of man she can love, the kind of man she deserves." Maybe it's the first time you hold your child, innocent and delicate and precious. And you say to the Lord, "Make me the kind of man that can raise this amazing gift to be yours." Maybe it was a time in your life where you nearly died, and you should have. And there's no explanation why you live today. There are a lot of reasons to reevaluate our lives. Unfortunately, many people don't take those opportunities. Fortunately, we find individuals, we all know them. We all know people who have made the wrong decisions when the road splits, who have made the decision to stay where they were. And I know, speaking to a congregation of Christians, that we've all been through times like that. We've all been through opportunities to change. And friends, the thing I know about most of you is that you did. That the road split, and you took the right path. It's about being a new person, a new man. And while the New Testament talks a lot about it being a new person, a new man, it's usually gender non-specific. It's talking about a new person, not a new male. There are some things that happen when you become that new man. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul begins here talking about the new man. He says in verse 9, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all," he says. So first and foremost, verse 11, he says, you are not a Scythian, you're not a barbarian, you're not a Jew or a Gentile, you're not a Greek. You're not even, he says here, circumcised or uncircumcised. You are not where you come from. Many people get caught up in that. Well, I am from the ghetto. I'm not. But some people get caught up in that. Or I'm from the rich part of the neighborhood. I'm from the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks. I'm from here or from here. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you come from money or from nothing. He says, it does not matter who you were even. Verse 9, he says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. It doesn't matter who you were or where you came from. What matters, he says, as he finishes there in verse 11, is that you are Christ. But Christ is all and in all, he says. In verse 10, he says, and have put on the new man. And because Christ is in you, because you are now Christ and not the old man, you have put off the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, he says, according to the image of him who created him. Not by your own perceptions, not by how you determine the maturity needs to be evaluated, but you remake yourself, you reform yourself to the image of Christ, to the image of the one who purchased you. And you recreate your image. Not as far as you think it should be done, not as far as what you consider maturity, but according to Christ. According to the maturity that's in Him. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9 he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, he says, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Not about who you were, or where you came from, because you were in darkness. You were a part of that darkness, in fact, because you had sin. But now He's called you out of that. And He's called you into His marvelous light. And we renew ourselves in our knowledge, and we remake ourselves in His image. He says, who once were not a people, verse 10, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's who you are now, friends. Because we remade ourselves through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through our own choices. Through each and every one of us saying, we are going to be different. We are going to be Christ's. We are going to become the new man and put off that old man. And when we do that, we have a new heritage. Not the heritage that we came from, because that means nothing. But a new heritage in Christ, that we are heirs according to God, according to Christ. And because we have a new heritage, as this new man has also a new relationship. A new relationship with others, he says, verse 13, Colossians chapter 3. In verse 13 he says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, he says, repay no one evil for evil. That's who you used to be. We used to be individuals who, because of the world that was around us, we thought that if someone struck us, we'd hit them back. You repay evil for evil. If someone tried to cheat you, you try to cheat them. And sometimes you go even further, you try to cheat them first because you know they're going to cheat you. He says that's not how we handle ourselves. And in fact, in verse 18 he says, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, if it is possible, inferring that sometimes it's not, as much as depends on you, because that's all you can control, live peaceably with all men. He says we don't repay evil for evil, we try to live peaceably with folks. So when they reproach us, we accept it. When they strike us, Jesus says we turn the other cheek. When folks revile us and they curse us and they persecute us, we pray for them. Because we are different. Because we are a new person. We're not that old man who would strike them back. And who would wish them poor. But he says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And that's the difference between the old man and the new man. And that's that new relationship with others. That we can have a relationship with others sometimes, not because of them, but because of us. Because we're different, not because they are. But we also have a new relationship because we are a new man. We have a new relationship with God. In verse 12 he says, therefore, as the elect of God, he says you're a new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Then he goes in to talk about how you relate with others. He says, we have a new relationship with God. He says, you are the elect of God. Act like it. And there are times that I want to shake my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's times, I'm sure, that they'd like to shake me. We are the chosen generation. We are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation. Act like it. Not in haughtiness. Not as thinking we deserve more than anyone else. But in meekness and humility. Because us being the children of God is not because of us. But because of Christ. Because of God and His mercy. Knowing that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4 and verse 6. We are not like the spoiled, right, elitists. We are the elect. But that doesn't make us better than anyone else. It merely makes us different. It makes us the called out of Christ. It makes us the new individuals, the new people, who do things differently than others. And that relationship with God bleeds down into our relationship with others, he says. Romans sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's already used the word renew in our knowledge. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." Now that's not the old man. That's different. He's saying your outward man. There is an inward man and an outward man. Your physical body is perishing. But there is something that's not perishing, he says. "Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This outward man is seen. This inward man is not seen. This outward man is perishing with all the things that are outside of my soul. Everything in this world is perishing, he says. All the things of this earth are being destroyed. But if our inward man is being renewed, not only, as he said before, by the knowledge, but as we'll go on here in verses 14 through 17, by the Savior, we possess a new purpose. We possess a new banner, which is the idea of the old wars, when individuals would have, some of the individuals wouldn't carry sabers, they wouldn't carry swords or whatnot. They would carry a banner, which was to show to whom this group, this contingent belonged. And it was more important for them to carry that banner, that flag, than it was for them to carry any kind of weapon. And that's what we do, only we all do it. We all carry that banner. We all carry it into battle. There in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 14 he says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. He says, you are renewed because you have a new purpose. That before you were selfish, before you had wrath and hated people, now you love. And that's the bond of perfection. That's how you are going to relate to individuals. And that's how it's going to change not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with others. He goes on to verse 15. He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Because you have that love, because you are a new person, because you have a new life in Christ, there is a new peace in your soul. A new peace that comes from God, not from yourself. Not from the financial security you think you possess. Not from the friends and the associates you have that give you some kind of security. But by the one who helps in time of need. The God who is David's strength and shield. His eternal fortress. The place where he hid his very life. And we can have that peace. We can wave that banner. We can go into war not concerned with the things of this life. We can go into this battle not concerned with even our own lives, knowing that the outward man, remember 2 Corinthians 4, knowing that the outward man perishes, but having that peace because we know the inward man is being renewed day by day through our commitment, through our choices, and most importantly, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on, verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." That as we go into battle, we march to a cadence of victory, in full assurance, not questioning and doubting, but knowing that as we commit our souls to God, that as we commit our lives, possessions of this world, we commit everything we have to the Lord, and we become that new man, that the Lord holds those things in earnest. He holds them ready for us to receive in the last days. That we can sing the song of victory as we go to war. And though we might perish in this life, we will not perish in eternity. And so we sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And so we go into battle, encouraging each other with the songs of victory. Because we know that in the end, we're going to win. And finally, verse 17, he says, "In whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." There's that word again, though, thanks. We saw it in verse 15 and we saw it here in verse 17. That need to give thanks, because we know this life did not come from us. We know this soul is not ours, really. We know the possessions that we have did not come from us. They came from the one who gives all perfect gifts. The one above, James chapter 1 and verse 19. From the Father of lights, with whom is no varying or shadow of turning. Friends, we need to be thankful. Not because we enter this war, but because we enter this war victors. Because we come in not at the end of battle where we can take credit for all the things that are going on, but because we come into a battle that's worth fighting. People fight for the stupidest reasons, friends. They fight and they war with themselves and with others over land, over possessions, over even their own ill-conceived honor. We fight for men's souls, friends. And we are thankful that we fight for something worth fighting for. We're thankful for the blessings that God gives. We're thankful for the love that He showers upon us. And we're thankful especially for the victory that we have because we put our faith and our trust in God. And He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That we go first and foremost to our commanding officer. Lord, what is it you have me do today? What hill can I take? What battle can I win? What sacrifice can I give for the better of the kingdom of heaven? Not only that I might win the battle for others, not only that I might help them find a way to you or help them hold and cling to your love and your grace, but Lord, what sacrifice can I make that I might win the victory also for myself? That I might have that love and put it on. That I might know the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That I might have that peace of God, Philippians 4, that passes all understanding. That guards my heart and mind. That I might sing the song of victory and be thankful for the sacrifices I can make. Why are we able to do all these things? Because we've become a new man, a new person in Christ. Because our priorities have changed. Our principles have changed. Our purposes have changed. And as such, we have changed. And friends, if you have not changed this day, if you have not made recompense with your God, with the God of heaven and earth, the one to whom our souls belong, you can do that this day. If you have not been washed and redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ through baptism, becoming that new man to begin with. Maybe that was the day. That's the day you're looking forward to. The day when you can be redeemed from your sins. Today is that day, friends. Today is the day of salvation. The day you need to put Christ on in baptism and become the new creature, the new creation that Christ designed. And day by day, we are renewed, not only by the fellowship of our friends and family in the church, but also through the Lord and through study of His Word. And if we have walked away from that, if we've dropped our banner, we can pick it back up. And we can take it anew and restore our position in eternity and our salvation here on this earth. But you have but this life to make that decision. And if you, my friends, are struggling with life, if your banner is waning, and you need help shoring it up, we are here to carry one another's burdens, help each other in times of need. And I pray, Lord, to the Lord, that whatever you need, you would come while we stand and while we sing.